Jesus defies convention to engage a Samaritan woman in conversation. Her testimony, in turn, leads to many others to faith. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 4th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. So Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her,
"Give me a drink."
Jesus' disciples had gone to the city to buy food.
"How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?"
Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans.
"If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water."
"Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his flocks and sons drink from it?"
"Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. Jacob, who gave us the water that I will give you, will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life."
"Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw this water."
"Go call your husband and come back."
"I have no husband."
"You are right in saying I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true."
"Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem."
"Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth."
"I know that the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us."
"I am he, the one who is speaking to you."
Just then, his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people,
"Come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?"
They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them,
"I have food to eat that you do not know about."
So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them,
"My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor."
Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I had ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and Jesus stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Grace and peace to you from the one whom we converse with, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As a pastor, I get the privilege of sitting down with the newly engaged in premarital counseling. And one of the most important pieces of that counseling is communication, the sharing and understanding. It's a key component from which everything flows. And there's two parts that this really focuses on. The first part is the ability to be able to express your feelings and to be able to ask for what you want in a relationship. And secondly, for the partner, it is the ability to let them know that you understand them by restating their message. And that both partners play that role, not just one or the other. This morning, we read the gospel in a reader theater method in order to emphasize that narrative, this holy theological conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. A conversation that was full of both expressiveness and a desire for understanding. And this isn't just any ordinary conversation. This is a really significant one, as it is one of the longest recorded conversations in the Gospels. And it's a conversation that shouldn't have happened altogether, because a man and a woman don't talk like that in Jesus' time. And Jews and Samaritans surely do not as well. As a whole, this conversation shows us that they matter. Conversations matter. They matter for relationships, and they matter for faith. Deep, full conversations are something that are kind of rare today, because a lot of times we see divisiveness in I'm right, you're wrong. And then we add technology on top of it, which is good in the sense that it expands the reach of being able to communicate, but it in many ways can reduce a conversation's intimacy to just a quick message. Plus, you have the ability to ignore another because of differences. You have to be more intentional for deep conversations in today's world. Our text today, I think, reveals some key elements on what it means to be in Christian conversation. First, both Jesus and the woman at the well come with vulnerability. There's mutual vulnerability in their conversation. Jesus is thirsty. The woman needs Jesus' living water. Vulnerability is a critical starting point. The willingness to do so opens the conversation to be able to go much deeper. This is who God is. God is vulnerable. We think of the incarnation, God in the flesh of Jesus Christ. There isn't anything more vulnerable than human flesh. And we think of the cross, Jesus' faithfulness of going through torture and death. Secondly, there's space for honest and real questions. Questions that communicate things such as curiosity, interest in the other, and a desire for information and understanding. The woman here has deep, purposeful questions for Jesus that in the end leads to Jesus revealing himself. God too invites questions, because questions are what strengthen relationships. Thirdly, conversations that are intentional and genuine take time. You can't figure out or learn somebody in just 5 minutes. Time is needed to deepen these relationships, to be able to work through the misunderstandings. Our woman today didn't stop at Jesus' confusing offer like Nicodemus did last week in our text. Rather, she continues to pursue understanding. God hangs in there with us all the time also, especially in our misunderstanding and our missteps. God wants us to know of God's abundant love for us. Lastly, conversations lead to surprises and to change. God is always revealing God's self through mysterious and uncommon ways. Jesus in this text reveals himself as the I Am, God's name in the Old Testament, I Am, to a woman who is religious, social, and politically an outsider. This is what God does. This is who God does it for, because God loves everyone in the world. And changed, the woman goes from shame to witness. She goes from dismissed to a disciple. She goes from being alone to being part of Jesus' flock. Brothers and sisters, this is the type of dialogue God engages us in and empowers us into with others. Vulnerability, curiosity, time-consuming, as we fully expect to be surprised and changed. We don't need the right answers. We don't need the right answers. We're called to be in relationships. Jesus' harvest analogy to his disciples is essentially, do what I've just done. There's a rich harvest coming as the Samaritan villagers are on their way to meet the Christ. The time is now. Don't sit around. Don't wait. Engage, learn, and share. Be in deep, faithful conversations. Yes, this is a model for holy and theological conversation. But isn't that how all conversations should be? Should not every conversation we engage in be holy and about God? Jesus and the woman couldn't be more different or have more reasons to not talk. And we are also tempted by that excuse. But God invites us into something bigger. God calls us to be in relationship with one another because God is first in relationship with us, reaching out to us and reaching through others. Let's be part of the conversation. Amen.